Doesn't Andrew do a great job leading us in singing? He will not sound that way next Sunday morning. This is going to be a huge week for that sweet family. If Miles, their expected son, doesn't come before Thursday, the doctors are going to encourage him to come. And so as of this week, it will be Andrew and Victoria and Miles Ashley. Amen? Won't that be great? Better you than me. Okay, all guys, you want to say it together with? Amen. Oh, it is a joyful experience. I'm so thankful that you're looking forward to a wonderful addition to your life. Victoria, you made a beautiful bride. You've made a beautiful mama to be. Y'all will be a great couple and a blessing to Miles. We'll call his name Johnny. And little Johnny was doing the best that he could to save up his allowance for a baseball bat. And so one night his mama heard him praying. He said, "Dear God, thank you for mommy and thank you for daddy and thank you for my allowance. Dear God, thank you for that baseball bat that I'm wanting to buy with my allowance. And dear God, please don't let the ice cream truck come down my street tomorrow morning." He knew that that ice cream truck would be a temptation for him to spend some of that allowance and delay his buying a baseball bat. I wonder how many of us struggle with our own ice cream trucks. It may not come in the form of an ice cream truck, but it may come, say, in the form of, if I'm in high school, I want to be popular. So I will I'll compromise my convictions so that I can be popular. It might come in the form of something that we're wanting to purchase, a major financial undertaking. And so we revisit what we give to God, because after all, there are others that are going to give to God, and He doesn't need all that I have been giving, and I really would like, and I really would need, and it might come in the form of a less than casual glance from someone of the opposite sex at work, and thoughts that should not be harbored. It might come from opportunities to sit down with someone other than a spouse and share problems at home, which can lead to sharing other things and creating greater problems at home. It may come in the form of someone mistreating us and our struggling with our attitudes. But I'm here to tell you that every one of us in this assembly, whether you're standing like me or sitting down like you, have to wrestle with an ice cream truck. Let's get some help. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's read together verses 12 and 13 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And see some things that we can learn about temptation. And maybe some things that can help us overcome the temptations that we have to face. Are you ready? What's the first word in your Bible? Therefore. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. Take pause. How good of a Christian are you? Feel pretty good about yourself? How strong are you? Well, I'm here, Brother Dan. Doesn't that say something? Let him who thinks he stands. That means me. That means you. Those of us who think we're doing pretty good with this thing called Christianity, let him take heed. What would be another way of saying take heed? Pay attention. Be alert. Look yourself in the mirror. Okay, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. The Holy Spirit says, be careful lest you fall. No temptation has taken or overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Isn't that a great thought? But with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Now, when I read verse 12 specifically, I find three things that I need to remember when it comes to temptation. In fact, these three things help me. See how you feel. The first thing that I learned from that passage is, I am vulnerable to temptation. I don't care who I am. I can be an elder in the church for years. I could be a gospel preacher for half a century. I could be a babe in Christ, be it male, female, old, young. We are vulnerable. Watch how this verse begins. No temptation has, what does your Bible say? Overtaken you. Some translations say simply taken you. Now the word that is translated literally means to seize you like an enemy. There is a word picture here, but only part of one. Turn with me, holding your place in our passage, to James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. That kind of fills in the word picture. That passage says, each man is tempted. That's you. That's me. Each man is tempted when he is drawn away by what? His own desires and enticed. And the desires, when they have conceived, bring forth sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. That passage tells me that I'm tempted when I'm drawn away. I'm drawn away by my ice cream trucks, by the things that I want. Now put those two word pictures together. James 1 says, I'm drawn away. Here's the picture. It's your desire saying, come here. Hey, hey, come on over here. But 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 paints the word picture of an enemy that comes up from behind the door and grabs you by the neck. And so you put the two together, and there are things that you want. There are these desires that are yours. They're unique to you. I have mine. Mine aren't yours. You have yours. Yours aren't mine. And what the devil does, he takes you and uses you against you. And he takes what you want and he says, come here, come here. Come here. And when you begin to walk in that direction, before you know it, boom, he's got a strong arm around your neck. He has seized you. You see, every one of us are vulnerable to temptation. You know what that means? Every one of us is vulnerable to what we want. Not a one of us have control over ourselves. Now sometimes we say no to what we want and we resist temptation. Sometimes we say yes to what we want and we give in to temptation, resulting in sin. But I need to know, straight up, We're talking about something this morning that every single one of us has to deal with, because every one of us have unique desires. Here's the second thing that I learned from this passage. Not only am I, are you vulnerable, but when we're tempted, we're normal. Look at this passage again, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. No temptation, the word means a spiritual testing, no temptation has seized you except such as is common to man. Let me give you the word translated man here. It's not aner, male. It's anthropos. You ever heard of anthropology? Anthropology is a study of man, a study of mankind. The word translated man here is anthropos, mankind. Let me read it again. No spiritual test has seized you except as is common to mankind. That means everything I have to face as temptation is a human test. It's something that everybody has to deal with. That's not always been the case. If you look at our screen in the bottom left-hand corner, you have a depiction of Mama, well, who would that be? Mama Eve. And Mama Eve is being taunted by a resemblance of the devil in the form of a serpent, and he's offering forbidden fruit. Eve had to face temptation, but she faced the devil in the form of a serpent. Jesus was tempted, yes. Jesus faced the devil personally. Eve, the devil in the form of a serpent. Jesus, the devil himself. But you and I are tempted by just dealing with what everybody has to deal with in life. We're not having to deal with the devil in person. We're not having to deal with the devil that comes in some miraculous form. We're having to deal with the devil who comes to us with what we want, our desires. And every one of us is that way. Now, over here, a lot of times I hear folks your age say, "Brother Dan, you just don't understand." Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. And he does, and he does, and she does, and she does, because everything you face is human. You deal with what you have in your life because you're human. You have wants, don't you? You have wants, don't you? The old devil is going to hit you right with what you want. Guess how he handles, deals with me? How does he deal with Pegs? The very same way. There's nothing that we face that is uncommon. We're all in this together. And so when I'm fighting with what I want, it's what I want. It's what I want to do, but I know that I shouldn't. I need to remember, everybody else is having to handle that same thing right now. There's not a one of us in here that isn't challenged by that. Here's the last thing that I can learn from this passage relative to temptation. Romans 3:23 says, "All sin and fall short of the glory of God." Sin comes from temptation. That means all of us have to fight temptation. Our passage of interest also says, when it comes to temptation, I am powerful. I'm in control. Even though the devil wants me to give it up, I'm in control. No spiritual testing has seized you except such as is a human man, a human test. But God is faithful. Did you see that? Raise your hand if you believe in God. Do you believe in God? Really believe in God? Raise your hand if you believe that God means what He says. Raise your hand if you believe that God is faithful to always be there for you. Do you really believe that? That's what this passage says. Now I want you to look at the verse yourself, because after it tells me that God is faithful, it tells me that He does two things. See if you can find the two things that God is faithful to do when we have to struggle with temptation. Can you find it? He will do this. He will do this. It's there twice. All right, now let's look. God is faithful, first of all, who will not allow you to be tempted. Pause. Doesn't say that God won't allow you to be tempted. Leave her alone. Leave him alone. No, that's not what it says. It says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are, give me the word, able. The word for beyond here means superior. So here is your capability. Here are things that are beyond your capability. And God says to the devil, you don't go there. You can go here, but you will not go any farther. God is faithful. That means, Paul, that means everything you have to deal with, you can deal with. God believes in you and won't let the devil hit you with anything more than you can handle. That's encouraging to me. That means that when I have to deal with this, I can be successful in saying no. The word for able here is dunamis. It's the same word for our English word dynamite. So you have a stick of dynamite in your hand and you're going to toss it to the devil and just blow him up. God will not allow you to be tempted beyond being able to just blow up the devil in any circumstance of life. That means God believes in you every single time you are tempted. You can deal with this. So who's powerful? In this passage, God is powerful to the extent that He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're capable, but the power in the passage is not God. The power in the passage is you and me. We're the ones that are able to say no. God's the one that's not allowing the devil to tempt me beyond my ability. I'm the one that has the power. Now, what else does God do in this passage because He's faithful? God is faithful who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you have the power to endure, beyond what you're able, but with the temptation. Will, here's the second thing that God does because He's faithful, also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Light at the end of the tunnel. Key to unlock the handcuffs. There's a way of escape. It doesn't just manifest itself miraculously. This is the way of escape, right here. And if I understand the Bible's teachings and apply it to this passage, what I'm reading is, when I face the want to's of life, I have the power to say no, because this book has provided me with what I need to keep in mind and put in my heart to counteract the want to's. God's not just going to allow me to be tempted and then say, hey, here's how you escape this. The power's right there. It's right there. It behooves us to spend more time with the book that not only helps us overcome the devil, but resist the devil on a regular basis. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, resist the devil and he will what? Flee from you. Now the word that is translated resist is actually a military term. It means get out your shovel and dig in a hole, dig your foxhole, step in that foxhole, and then point your sights, put the devil in your crosshairs. And what does the devil do when he's in your crosshairs? He turns and runs. You have the power. Did you know you are more powerful than the devil? Did you know that? When I was growing up, some of us that are older remember Flip Wilson. Y'all remember Flip Wilson? Okay, Charlie, help me. Flip would say, the devil. The devil made... Yeah, he said it about like that too. The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil don't make you do anything. You have the power over the devil. You're more powerful than he. So all we have to do is step up, make him run. Look at those three words. My own wants can take a chokehold on my heart. I'm vulnerable. When that happens, I'm like everybody else. I'm normal. I'm not being tempted because I'm a bad guy. Everybody else is having to deal with this stuff. But when I am tempted, I am powerful. God will not make me face something I can't handle, but will, with the temptations, provide means by which I can say no to myself when I choose to. Let's close by turning to a passage that puts all three of those words in perspective. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 5, and let's begin reading with verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, as we close. Be sober, be vigilant or watchful, because your adversary, he's not a friend, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, we are vulnerable. If I understand the Bible correctly, we are vulnerable to an angel that rebelled. He had the audacity to rebel against God and lead a coup of angels against the Almighty and was cast out of heaven as a result. He's been miserable ever since, and misery loves company, and all he wants to do is devour you and welcome you into his destiny. We're vulnerable. Keep reading. Verse 9 says, resist him steadfast in the faith. Resist him, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everything you face is being faced by other people as well. They're your wants, but other people are like you and they want some of the same things just like you. And so the Holy Spirit says, you keep up your guard because the devil is after you. Resist him, knowing what you're having to do, every other man and woman is having to do as well. But may the God of all grace, verse 10, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, suffer this temptation, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. It's amazing to me that the Apostle Peter, like the Apostle Paul, thought about temptation, and yet it led them to think about God in their lives. And so when you are tempted, are you led to think about how hard it is to be a Christian? Are you led to think about, could you go ahead just this time and still be a Christian? When you're tempted, are you like Paul? Are you like Peter? In the face of temptation, are you led to think about God? You see, whenever we face our wants, that's what helps us win over temptation. We make the right choice by thinking about our love for God. Thoughts to ponder as we stand and sing.